Christ's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good morning. Welcome to the debate for Erie County Sheriff. For more than 25 years, St. Joe's has had the opportunity to host a number of political debates, which have given our students an opportunity to witness the political process firsthand. To our freshmen who have never been to a debate, we encourage you to listen carefully and enjoy the exchange of ideas between our candidates this morning. St. Joe's is proud to welcome the three candidates for the office of Erie County Sheriff. The incumbent and Republican candidate is Sheriff Tim Howard. Sergeant Richard Dobson is the Democratic candidate, and Lieutenant Bert Dunn is the Law and Order Party candidate. We thank each of the candidates for taking time out of their busy campaign schedules and participating in this forum here at St. Joe's. Thank you. The format for today's debate will be as follows. Each candidate will begin with a 1.5 minute opening statement. Next, each candidate will be given an open-ended question from the moderator that they will be given 1 minute to respond to with no rebuttal. Candidates will then be given a number of direct questions dictated by time from our student panel. They will be given 1 minute and 15 seconds to answer the direct question and 45 seconds for a rebuttal. The debate will conclude with a 2 minute closing statement from each of our candidates. The moderator reserves the right to ask a follow-up question regarding any of the direct questions that are asked this morning, and each candidate will be given 1 minute to respond with no rebuttal. Our panel for this morning's debate consists of students from the American government classes. They are Derek Serralo, Yusuf Altagori, Pat Gramza, and Leah McMahon. Our timekeeper is Pat Murray. I would also like to thank Mr. Pat McHale, my colleague and friend from the St. Joe's History Department, who has been a key part in preparing these debates over the last several years. Also, I would like to thank Mr. Scott Mueller, also from the St. Joe's History Department, who has joined our debate team this year. At this time, I would like to briefly introduce each of the candidates. The Democratic candidate for Erie County Sheriff is Sergeant Richard Dobson. Mr. Dobson joined the Air Force after graduating from Burgard Vocational High School. After he left the service, he became an Erie County Sheriff's Deputy and spent 32 years in the department. He eventually became a sergeant, and after he left the sheriff's office, he became a supervisory officer for UN peacekeeping forces. The Republican candidate for Erie County Sheriff is the incumbent, Sheriff Tim Howard. Mr. Howard began his law enforcement career in 1973 when he became a patrolman in the village of Gowanda, and later that year joined the Town of Eden Police Department. In 1974, he became a New York State Trooper and moved through the ranks, eventually becoming a staff inspector. In 1998, he became the undersheriff of Erie County, working with former Sheriff Pat Gallivan. And in 2005, he was nominated by former Governor George Pataki to fill the office of Erie County Sheriff after Sheriff Gallivan left that position. Mr. Howard is a graduate of Cardinal Manzini High School and holds a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in criminal justice. The Law and Order Party candidate for Erie County Sheriff is Lieutenant Bert Dunn. Mr. Dunn began his career in law enforcement as a patrolman in the town of Hamburg and became a sheriff's deputy in 2001. He currently is a lieutenant and watch commander for the sheriff's department. He also is part owners of Burt's Bike and Fitness Motorsports. Mr. Dunn is a graduate of Orchard Park High School and holds a BA and an MBA from Canisius College. After reading the biographies of these three candidates, it becomes readily apparent that the citizens of Erie County are fortunate to have three highly qualified candidates for this position. Thank you for being with us this morning. Based on a selection process conducted earlier this morning, Sheriff Howard will begin the debate with his opening remarks, followed by Sergeant Dobson, and concluding with Lieutenant Dunn. Each candidate will have 1.5 minutes for their opening statements. Sheriff Howard.
Good morning, everyone. Let me first congratulate you on your selection of schools. I know that private education requires considerable sacrifice on the part of your families, as well as hard work from all of you. I, too, am a graduate of, you don't recognize Cardinal Manzini, but it's no longer in existence, but as a Catholic high school, and my five children are all graduates of Catholic high schools as well, and we're all enjoying successful, rewarding careers. It's also my hope that your interest in the political process will continue long after high school. Someone once said that we get the government that we deserve. And what I think that translates to is more and more people pull back from the political process, pay less attention, fail to exercise their rights to vote. As a result of that, our government continues to deteriorate. It's been said I have 41 years in law enforcement, a year and a half in local law enforcement, 24 years with this New York State Police and ever-increasing supervisory positions. I have a master's degree. I graduated from the FBI National Academy for Law Enforcement Executives. I didn't just study criminal justice. I didn't just practice it. I taught it as well. I taught it at a number of police academies across the state, and I taught it at RIT. My opponents, or at least one of them, will want you to focus on how bad things are in the jail. Please keep in mind that's how bad things were. Keep your eyes open to how things are today. I should be judged on what we've accomplished in the last 4 years and not on history before that. Thank you,
Sheriff Howard. Our next opening statement to Sergeant Dobson.
Good morning, and thank you very much for inviting me here today. I consider it a distinct honor. By way of background, I spent most of my adult life in service to my country, to my community, and to my faith. I'm proud of the service that I've been able to enjoy over the years. I come from a poor family. Okay, thank you. I was told, as I grew up in a broken home, I was told that I would never graduate from high school. I had a chip on my shoulder. After hearing that, I proved some members of my family wrong. We didn't have a lot of money, so at the age of 17, I enlisted in the United States Air Force. It was at a time when our country was going to war. Whether I believed in the war or not, I considered myself to be a true American, and I wanted to do my part for that flag. I joined the Sheriff's Department because I truly had a desire to serve the public. I thought the best way that I could do it would be to put on a uniform, to put on a badge. I had a very rewarding 32-year career. I was a deputy, a sergeant. I rose to the rank of lieutenant and watch commander. I was introduced as Sergeant Dobson, and that's true. Because of budget cuts, I was reduced in rank to my former civil service position of sergeant. But I will say this, even though I've been retired, in my heart, I will always be a policeman. I see that my time is up. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me here.
Thank you. Lieutenant Dunn.
Good morning. I'd like to thank the St. Joseph community for inviting us out here today. It's a real pleasure to come out. This is the first debate we've been able to do. I'm not sure there'll be any others, so this may be the one opportunity you get to hear all three of us at the same time. So I am a guy who got into law enforcement 14 years ago. I decided to get into it because I wanted to make a difference. I could have done anything. I had a lot of opportunities, like many of you. You always wonder where I fit in this world, where can I make a difference? I thought, after a long deliberation, it could be in law enforcement. So I took the exam, I scored high, and I started in police work. Came over to the sheriff's office in 01 with one goal, to make it a better place, to move up the ranks and make a difference. So far, I've been successful. When we took the sergeant's exam, I scored number one, and I was promoted by Tim Howard. Thank you. When I scored number two on the lieutenant exam, I was promoted to lieutenant, my current rank. Thank you again, Sheriff. And I am currently number two on the captain's list. So as you could tell, I'm somebody who is upwardly mobile. I try to make a difference. I work there now, and I do want to make a difference. And like any organization, you can see the greatness it can be, and you want it to become. So you could be like a lot of people and complain, or you can be somebody who steps up and makes a difference. Every 4 years, there's a job interview. There's an opportunity for the people to select their next sheriff. It's the only job in law enforcement that you get to pick.
Thank you.
So I present myself now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Dunn. Our first question to each candidate will be a moderator's question. The timekeeper will allow 1 minute for each candidate to respond, and there will be no rebuttal. Sheriff Howard, recently an unarmed woman with a child in her car was shot and killed by D.C. law enforcement after refusing to stop her vehicle and, as reported, used her vehicle as a weapon. What is the sheriff's office policy regarding hot pursuit, and do you believe that the D.C. law enforcement acted appropriately in this incident?
The first thing I'll clarify is that it would be inappropriate for a police executive from one agency to comment about the actions of another without knowing all of the information that was in the possession of that other agency. But to the remainder of the question, since the 1970s, the policy of law enforcement agencies has been not to shoot at moving vehicles unless the vehicle itself is being used as a direct weapon. To use stop strips, to use including vehicle intervention to stop a pursuit, stop strips being the preferred way, but shooting at a moving vehicle is highly dangerous because once the vehicle or the operator had been shot, the vehicle continues on a path to totally unguided for more destruction.
Thank you. Sergeant Dobson.
I agree with Sheriff Howard. It's very difficult to judge another officer's actions without having all of the facts. I have been in situations where I've been shot at. I've been stabbed. I've had to answer to a grand jury in an instance that caused the death of a young man. You have to make decisions that quickly. Those decisions could affect the life of another person, the welfare of another person. It's a difficult thing. We rely on our training. We act many times instinctively. I see that my time is up. Thank you. 15 seconds, gentlemen. Your time is precious, as is mine. I just want to say that I agree with Sheriff Howard. We can't second-guess our police officers on the street. That's why we have juries, whether they're civil, criminal, or grand juries, to judge our actions. And we should be responsible for what we do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lieutenant Dunn.
Okay, this is an easy question for me because I have to deal with this on a regular basis as a watch commander. My deputies are out there, and they get these situations, and it's always a decision you have to make on the fly. Today's world is full of liability issues. We have to be very careful of everything that we do, that we do no harm. So when we come up with a pursuit situation, we have to give out a number of issues. We need to know the current speed, the weather conditions, the road conditions, the conditions of traffic. We need to know why the attempt to stop is being made. In most cases, we'll terminate a pursuit. It's frankly just dangerous. Most of the time, we can get a description of the vehicle or a license plate number, and we can catch up with the person later. Unless there is immediate danger that has to be terminated immediately, we'll move on and let it calm down, and we'll come back to it at another time. I don't think you're going to see the big car chases and crashes going forward because it's just the liability is unbelievable. Most of the time, the stops are for something very minimal. Thank you,
Lieutenant Dunn. Our first panel question will be directed to Sheriff Howard. He will be given 1 minute and 15 seconds, and the other candidates a 45-second rebuttal. Our first question.
Sheriff Howard, in January of this year, the state legislature passed and Governor Cuomo signed the New York SAFE Act, which calls for broad new restrictions on the possession of firearms, ammunition, and firearm accessories. You subsequently said you believe the law to be unconstitutional and that you would not enforce its provisions. WIVB has reported that you are one of several county sheriffs participating in a lawsuit that challenges the act. Sheriff Howard, aren't you constitutionally obligated to enforce the law as enacted by the state legislature?
And you answered my question for me with the final part. Am I constitutionally obligated? Every police officer's oath of office, the very first thing when we raise our hand is we're sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Everything else comes after that. So anytime there's a debate between the state or conflict between state and federal constitution, we've been taught, and it's how it should be, that the U.S. Constitution prevails. I'm in good company in this, not only by other sheriffs, but also by our own Association of Catholic Bishops, when they believe the law passed by the president on the Obamacare unfairly interfered with health care, they said that they would not comply with that law. The parts of the law that I can't comply with, and I think for people that wholeheartedly support it, I suggest they've never read it. They don't know all of what that law says. For instance, that a grandparent cannot give a gun to a grandchild, even an adult grandchild, without first getting the permission of the state, or if you lose a round of ammunition. But probably the worst part is that mental health providers have to betray the confidence that they have with their patients and report that information to the state would cause individuals in need of mental health care not to obtain it.
Thank you. Sergeant Dobson, your rebuttal, please.
As police officers, we swear to uphold the Constitution, but the second part of our oath is we will enforce all of the laws of the state of New York. Gentlemen, that's whether we like the law or not. For a police officer to decide which laws are constitutional and which laws are not is abrogating the power and the authority of our judicial system. The courts will decide what's constitutional and what is not, not a local sheriff. Does that mean my time is up? I will uphold the law, gentlemen. I just have a problem figuring out how much time I have left. I will uphold the law. It's what I have sworn to do. Whether I agree with it or not is immaterial. Now my time is up.
Thank you. Thank you. Just for clarification for the student body and all candidates, the first signal means you have 15 seconds left for a response, so as not to cut the candidates off. Our rebuttal from Lieutenant Dunn.
Okay, I am definitely not in favor of many elements of the SAFE Act. I think there's some serious issues with it. I believe that the legislators who voted on it, senators and assemblymen, who voted on this act could not have possibly read it in the time they were given. It's 37 pages long. It covers dozens of subsections. There's definitely issues with it. There's already been three revisions. There's probably more to come. However, at this time, working in the sheriff's office, we haven't received any orders from the sheriff not to enforce it. So at this point, it's really not up to us as police officers what to enforce and not to enforce. There's a lot of laws in the books. We don't always agree with all of them, but we have to do our duty. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next direct question will go to Sergeant Dobson. Sergeant Dobson.
Sergeant Dobson, school security has been the subject of intense debate in the wake of the horrific shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School, where 28 people were murdered, including 20 children between the age of 6 and 7. Just yesterday, two people were killed and two wounded in a shooting at Sparks Middle School in Nevada. Do you believe having armed guards on school grounds is the best solution to this type of crisis? Or would you support law enforcement, armed teachers, or some other alternative to these remedies?
I would not support the concept of arming our teachers. That's not the job of a teacher. Whether there are armed guards on the school or not depends on the school system itself. I believe in local government. I believe that communities should set the standards for what they want. As far as what happened with those children and the police response, traditional knowledge had us waiting for SWAT to show up. That is not practical. What we have to do in a situation where there's someone in a school shooting the first officer on the scene, hopefully with a backup officer, two officers, go in immediately. You cannot stand outside listening to screams and gunshots. Firemen go into burning buildings and risk their lives. Police officers, we risk our lives too. If I'm on that scene, I'm going into the building, and I'm going to do what I can to save those children. Thank you.
Thank you. A rebuttal, Lieutenant Dunn.
I don't have all the answers. Armed security seems to be a possible option. Arming teachers, I'm not ready for that yet. I think they have enough on their hands trying to educate you folks. The current situation is we have changed all our tactics since Columbine. Since Columbine, we changed. We don't wait for SWAT. Originally went with a four-man diamond formation. Then further studies decided that that's still too long. So now we trained in a two-man response, and we will respond accordingly. We've received training on how to dynamically enter situations and try to end the threat. So the police departments all across the country are coming together and trying to come up with the best way to handle these situations. The sheriff's office right now is definitely at the leading front of it.
Thank you, Lieutenant Dunn. Your rebuttal, Sheriff Howard.
I have personally been sitting with two different schools in Western New York since January. I'm working on a boilerplate for best practices on how to secure our schools, the Iroquois School as well as the Gowanda School. What's come out in all of those discussions is that it's important that the law enforcement work with the school officials as well as with the parents in coming up with the best practices on how to secure our schools. Different schools probably call for different responses, but one thing is certain, Harvard Medical School study released early in the year says that one in five high school students has an undiagnosed mental illness. Nothing has been done by our state or our federal government to address the problem of mental illness, not just within the youth, but within the adult community as well. Certainly that has to be a part of this, not defunding mental
health.
Thank
you, Sheriff Howard. Thank you. Our next direct question will go to Lieutenant Dunn.
Lieutenant Dunn, you sought and obtained a Democratic endorsement for the Erie County Sheriff, though you later lost the party's primary to Sergeant Dobson. Currently, you are airing a television spot that claims you are the only real independent voice in this campaign. Is it disingenuous to suggest you're an independent when you actively sought the Democratic Party nomination?
I don't think so. You know, part of the process, and obviously you share this the opinion possibly, many people do, is that there's two choices, Republican or Democrat. Obviously, based on party enrollment, if you want to win, that's going to give you your best opportunity. Be a member of one of those parties. I'm an enrolled Democrat. I sought my own party's nomination. I received it, and we had a primary and a very close race. I came up short. However, I did come up with a lot of votes. This is a three-man race, and I think it's important that people have a choice. And I hope it's not just going to be, oh, we either choose a Republican or a Democrat. If that's the case, why do we have any other parties? Obviously, we have third-party candidates. They're usually at a disadvantage because they can't come up with the resources to compete. I'm a little different situation, but I'm in this for the right reasons. I'm very passionate about this. I'm not looking for a job. I already have a job. I'm looking to do a really good job of trying to make this a better agency. In fact, I want to make it the best agency.
Thank you. Rebuttal, Sheriff Howard.
Well, first of all, this is not a three-party race. Actually, there are several other political parties, which I'm sure the good government students know as well. I'm also the endorsed conservative candidate and the endorsed independence candidate. I'll simply say this, that I think the literary term, when you go for something and it's denied to you, to then denounce the process is called sour grapes. So thank you.
Thank you. Your rebuttal, Sergeant Dobson. Sergeant Dobson, your rebuttal, please.
Yes, in rebuttal to what Lieutenant Dunn had to say, I'm a Democrat and I'm running for sheriff. Lieutenant Dunn has every right in the world to exercise his right to be on the ballot for whatever party he chooses. The only thing that matters, gentlemen, for all of us here, is who is the most qualified, who is the most sincere, and who is the most transparent. As far as policy goes, who is the most honest to his oath and who will do the best job for you people out here? I know I have more time, but that's all I have to say on that.
Thank you. Our next direct question goes to Sheriff Howard.
Sheriff Howard, for the last 8 years, the Erie County Holding Center has been dealing with multiple problems, of which inmate suicide is the most tragic and most evident. Records show the suicide rate at the holding center is 5 times the national average, and as recently as last year, there was an attempted suicide. Yet in interviews with WGRZ, you stated that you do not believe the holding center has a problem with inmate suicide. At that same time, and under your leadership, the county fought a request by the Department of Justice to allow its suicide prevention experts inside your facility. Sheriff Howard, do you still believe the holding center is not dealing with the suicide problem?
The jail certainly is dealing with the suicide problem. It would take probably an hour to get through all the processes involved in this. The holding center is a much better facility now than it was 4 years ago, in part through the hiring of a St. Joe's alumni as the superintendent. But the real issue here is that the county government finally made available the appropriate resources to deal with the issues within the jail. No one has yet not acknowledged, so therefore everyone has acknowledged, that the biggest problem in the jail was staffing. But now instead of having law enforcement people do suicide screening because the resources provided by the county, we have mental health people doing suicide screenings. There have been no suicides in the jail in 2013, and despite what others would say, a prevented suicide is a positive statistic because of the number of individuals with mental health problems that are in the facilities. When we can prevent a suicide, our staff has done a good job, and they shouldn't be criticized for preventing a suicide.
Thank you. Your rebuttal, Sergeant Dobson.
The situation in the holding center over the past number of years, especially the suicides and escape from the correctional facility, is unconscionable. The sheriff has been in office approximately 8 years. That problem should have been addressed long ago. The response from him was, I'm not going to make my jail into a hotel. That's not who we are as human beings. That's not who we are as Americans. We treat other people with dignity. If you're going to put an inmate on the floor, that person should have a mattress to sleep on, okay? Basic amenities. Who commits suicide in the jail? Is it the hardened criminal who's been in and out on a revolving door for years? No. That person was not afraid to go back to prison. It's the young man who broke up with his girlfriend, who has a drinking problem, who thinks his life is over, who, as the sheriff said, is the one in five who has a mental problem. He commits suicide.
Thank you, Sergeant Thompson. Rebuttal, Lieutenant Dunn.
Actually, the sheriff's been in power for going on 16 years if you go back to his undersheriff days. He's had plenty of time to fix the problems, to make improvements. What's he waiting for? Oh, he's waiting for the Department of Justice to come in and tell him how to do it. But you know what? There is lots of opportunities out there because there's thousands of jails throughout the country. We can look at these for best practices. If we were truly interested in making a world-class operation, we would enact all these best class practices. So, you know, the opportunity's there, but you got to take them. If the sheriff was doing a great job, I wouldn't run against him.
Thank you, Art. Thank you. Our next direct question to Sergeant Dobson. Sergeant Dobson.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Dobson, on Sunday, you called into WBEN's radio program, Hardline, and made the following statement. There are many things going on in the Sheriff's Department that I believe will be coming out in the next 2 weeks as far as badges being sold and people contributing money to have reserve positions that maybe they're not quite entitled to. This is a very serious allegation, Sergeant Dobson. Are you prepared to, at this time, to back up this statement?
Right now, I believe in one thing, that this uniform that I have worn is a symbol. Like that flag, it's not just a piece of cloth. It represents something bigger than a piece of cloth. That uniform represents the legitimate coercive power of the state that you have placed into us. People go to school, people take civil service exams, people go out of their way to get a sheriff's job. You shouldn't be able to come in and say, I'd like to have a badge. I can do, God knows what some people can do. There should be a process, okay? I believe that there is a place for reserve deputies, but there's a community college in Niagara County and a community college in Erie County. People are spending thousands of dollars of their own money to receive police certification through that academy. They're the people that should be considered for the jobs, not because of patronage, who you know, or whether you're willing to contribute to a sheriff's campaign financially. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your rebuttal, Lieutenant Dunn.
The reserve forces for the sheriff's office play an important role. I definitely support the role. I would just like to see a little more integration between units. There's absolutely no reason why we cannot provide them with a higher level of training. To become a police officer, you certainly have to take a civil service police exam. You have to attend a BMP certified police academy, ranges around 20 weeks, and you have to do a 10-week field training, and you have to be evaluated on a monthly basis. If we're going to place our trust and put power into people with that uniform, we need to protect them and the citizens with a high level of training. I would like to see more training for these deputies and more integration with regular units so that they can be more effective and safe.
Thank you. Your rebuttal, Sheriff Howard.
Probably no better audience than this. You're all familiar with the commandment that thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. For a person that thinks he's a police professional to stand up and make an accusation like Mr. Dobson made, and then when asked about it, say, well, we think we're going to have our proof later, Imagine how, if police officers acted like that with you or with your families. First, we're going to accuse you of something and then say we hope to have proof in the next couple of weeks. As to Mr. Dunn, Lieutenant Dunn's comments, we have two levels of police officers or officers in our agency. Police officers, which are higher trained, and peace officers, which under the law have a lower level of training. Anyone that works in our reserve office that wears a uniform, attends a peace officer training program, these individuals literally contribute thousands of hours of volunteer time to the Erie County community. We're very proud of them.
Thank you, Sheriff Howard. Our next direct question will go to Lieutenant Dunn. Our next direct question will go to Lieutenant Dunn.
Lieutenant Dunn, earlier this year, a text message surfaced in which you said you were not a fan of President Obama or Governor Cuomo and that Ronald Reagan was your favorite president. It you sought the Democratic Party's endorsement for your campaign. The Buffalo News has reported that you have switched your party affiliation numerous times. First Republican, then Democrat, then Republican again, then Democrat again, and now finally an independent party. What is your reasoning for this frequent change of affiliation?
Well, clearly I'm not very good at text messaging. That's certain. Yes, I have switched my party. It's a right you have. Actually, I switched in 2005 to support Tim Howard in his first election. I have not switched my affiliation to an independent party. I'm running under an independent party. I'm still a registered Democrat. You know, these things are, be careful what you put out there, folks, and be careful who you send it to. That's all I can tell you. It could be misconstrued. I will say this, though. I do have problems with some of the things that our president's doing. I do hope he's successful, but I don't agree with all his policies. I also feel the same way about Andrew Cuomo. I hope he's successful, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of things he's doing that I just don't agree with. We have a real downstate bias in what's going on at the governor's level, and I don't think we're being addressed here locally with what our people are looking for, what we need. And in my time, when I was your age, we had a thing called the Cold War and the threat of nuclear destruction, and President Reagan helped end that. So for me, I still find him to be my hero. But he's passed now, and I'm looking for the next great president to like. Thank you.
Rebuttal, Sheriff Howard.
Certainly you just got one great piece of advice. Be careful of everything you post on the Internet or any electronic format because it could come back to haunt you, including when you someday are applying for jobs. Quickly this, there is no real place for politics in law enforcement. When we answer complaints, we don't ask someone, and when they become a victim or someone we're arresting, are you Republican, Democrat, conservative, independent, or some other party? So that's the process. It's great, I think, that a sheriff is selected by the people instead of being hired by some other elected official. But again, politics doesn't have any place in law enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebuttal, Sergeant Thompson.
What was the question? I'm sitting here and I'm listening to things and I'm really kind of shaking my head thinking, are we all in the same world?
Could we repeat the question, please?
Lieutenant Dunn, earlier this year, a text message surfaced in which you said you were not a fan of President Obama or Governor Cuomo, and that Ronald Reagan was your favorite president, yet you sought the Democratic Party's endorsement for your campaign. The Buffalo News has reported that you switched your party affiliation numerous times, first Republican, then Democrat, then Republican again, then Democrat again, and now finally an independent party. What is your reasoning for this frequent change of affiliation?
Mr. Dunn said, I'm unfamiliar with texting. I can appreciate that. Are you familiar with what you have to say in the text is what counts? Yes, yes, that's what counts. That text message stands on its own. Whether he meant to send it or not, it went out. And those were his words. I'm a Democrat. I believe in many of the things that the Republicans say, conservatives, independents. When I go in to vote, I'm all over the board. I make no bones about that. I think most of us in this room vote our mind. But when I put something in writing, I'll stand by it.
Thank you, Sergeant Dobson. We're going to ask one more direct question to one of the candidates. So our last direct question will go to Sheriff Howard.
Sheriff Howard, data collected in the Uniform Crime Report indicate that the national average property crime rate fell 16.6% between 2005 and 2012. However, excluding the city of Buffalo, Erie County has seen a property crime rate increase of over 27% since 2005 when you were first elected. Sheriff Howard, are you aware of this steep increase, and what has your department done to correct this issue?
Well, end of your question is in the city of Buffalo. So we have some staff committed to assisting the city of Buffalo, but the primary police response in the city of Buffalo rests with the Buffalo Police Department and any additional help that they request from the other law enforcement officers. I would caution you about this whenever you're looking at crime statistics, particularly the most recent pattern, that the crime rate is based on the crime per 1,000 people. And for the period before this, was the first time in history that the number of people that are most responsible, the age groups that are most responsible for crime from 16 to 23, was at the lowest time ever in response to the remainder of the population, which actually skewed the statistical data. Certainly another concern has to be looked at as to saying this is based on data reported to the police. Some people might suggest that the Buffalo Police Department has done a better job of receiving reports for crimes or a better job encouraging people to cooperate and to come to them and report crime than possibly they did in the past. So this is based on reported crime, which is not necessarily the best indicator of the real amount of crime in the community.
Thank you. Rebuttal, Sergeant Dobson.
We're short on time, and I won't waste it. I basically agree with what the sheriff had to say, and I don't have much to add to that. I'll save my comments for closing. Thank you.
Thank you. Your rebuttal, Lieutenant Dunn.
Property crimes have definitely increased in the areas that we patrol. And in the time we're out there, we're always burdened by many different types of calls, so our response is usually in a reactive mode. Going forward, I would like to see more proactive mode being used. I would like us to go out there and look at some other tactics, such as decoy units, such as street crimes units, to focus on these types of crimes. We're always burdened by the lack of manpower, but shifting manpower to address these issues can be accomplished if there's a will.
Thank you. At this time, each candidate will be given 2 minutes for their closing remarks. We will begin with Sheriff Howard. Sheriff Howard, your closing remarks, please.
The very first comment, the very first question, you heard all of us say that we agree that it's not right for an individual to stand up and criticize another law enforcement officer unless you're in his shoes. That's exactly what my opponents are doing to me. At the time that Dick Dobson left the sheriff's office, the county had about 1,000 employees and about 17 management confidential employees. Many of you remember what happened in 2005, severe cutbacks across all of the areas of county government. Every different cutbacks in the DA's office slowed down prosecutions, cutbacks in probation slowed down probation reports, cutback in Central Police Services slowed down the production of the processing of evidence, and the cutbacks within the maintenance departments of the county caused the county buildings, not the sheriff's buildings, we own no buildings, to fall in disrepair. Everything that happened in 2005 backed up on the Erie County Sheriff's Office at the time when my workforce went from 1,000 to less than 800, and the management confidential employees, the supervisors that take care of all these things, went from 17 to 19 to 9. That's what caused the problems. That was universally agreed when the state and the federal government came in. The biggest mandate was that the county must provide the sheriff additional resources. When the county provided those resources, we stepped up. We're a much better place today than we were 4 years, 6 years, 8 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Your closing remarks, Sergeant Thompson, 2 minutes.
We've talked about the conditions in the holding center. You've all read the news. You've seen the media. You know about the suicides. How did the sheriff respond to that? When the state and the federal inspectors came in and said, we want to examine what's going on in your jail, it was Katie, bar the door. You're not coming in. It had to go to federal court, okay? Where is the transparency there? Why didn't the sheriff say, please come in. Show me where I can make improvements. Show me what I'm doing wrong. I don't have all the answers. I need your help so that I can go across the street to the control board, to the legislators, and say this is what we must have to stop these deaths. That's just the jail, okay? I mentioned before about the uniform being more than a costume. That is something that represents your government. You put trust and faith in that uniform. I mentioned about patronage, about reserve deputies that may not be qualified. When I get to be the sheriff, I will look into every single one of those appointments to see how it was obtained, whether it was political influence, whether there was money, political contributions being made, and there will be transparency, gentlemen. You will know what your sheriff's department is up to. Thank you.
Thank you. Lieutenant Dunn, your closing remarks.
It takes a lot to put yourself out there to run for office. You get unbelievable amounts of criticism. Everybody's a critic. Nobody wants to give you any credit for having good intentions and truly wanting to make a difference. But that's what it is for me. I love the sheriff's office. I know what it can be. I know what it would like to be. I have a vision. I want to make it the benchmark agency that all other law enforcement agencies are measured by. But we can't do it if we're going to just continue to muddle through. We need new ideas, we need innovation, and we need to think outside the box. And we can't worry about who your brother is, who your father is, what neighborhood you're from, what school you went to. We have to worry about who is going to do the best job? Who is going to deliver the best services? That's all I'm interested in. Unfortunately, part of the process is you have to run for political office. And let me assure you, it's every bit as bad as I thought it would be, but worse. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the St. Joe's community, I would like to thank each of our candidates for spending time with us this morning. And as a small token of our appreciation, I have a little gift from them, and I'd like everybody to give them a great St. Joe's round of applause.